This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
With a collage of arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond. Colin Armstrong, Aesthetica, on Joy 94.9.
I'm very fortunate tonight to have in the studio and to tell us a lot more about what's coming up with the new production from Clock Musical Theatre. And it's called Guys and Dolls, but I've got two of the cast members. I've got Scott Hilly, who's going to play Nathan Detroit in the production, as well as Sarah Watson, who's going to play Adelaide Adams. Welcome to you both.
Hello, Colin.
How are you?
Really, really well. And it's really great to have you in the studio tonight and to tell us a lot more about Guys and Dolls. And so I suppose I would really like to start, if I may, about Clock Musical Theatre, about Clock Theatre. It's just, fortunately, I was doing some reading this week, and yours, or Guys and Dolls, I should say, is the 99th production. And what they've done over those years, they do two great musicals a year. Mm. You've got a new home or down at the National Theatre in St Kilda, and we'll talk a bit more about that afterwards. And next year is, now correct me if I'm wrong, it would be the 50th year of Clock.
Yes.
As with also the 100th.
The 100th production, yes. From humble beginnings to, you know,
tell us a little bit about Clock then.
Look, Clock started off as Cheltenham Light Opera Company 50 years ago, and humble beginnings in a church hall down in Cheltenham. And from there, through community work and through volunteer, because the company is completely not-for-profit volunteer organisation, people have come and gone, and they've built this company that creates fantastic productions. And one of the great things about Clock is that it gets everybody in the community involved. Mm-hmm. So whether you're a performer, a set designer, a costume lady who wants to sew costumes or props, put some sequins on to make props, you know, empty out a coconut so you can fill it with liquid nails and put some straws in it, you know, that's the cheats propping, you know. And it encompasses a wide variety of skill bases that everybody can be involved in. We all, unlike professional music theatre, where, you know, people do it as a job, this is something that people can do, like play basketball, or like, you know, go to their cross stitch classes, or you know, lead lighting or macrame. People can do theatre as something that they enjoy doing.
Yeah.
They can go to rehearsals, audition for shows, go to rehearsals, and one of the fantastic things that encompasses Clock is that they embrace new people always, always, whether in whatever capacity you want to get involved in. Mm. I mean, in our last production, which was Phantom of the Opera, which I happened to be in, and we had some people walking past the theatre who went, oh, this looks fantastic, and volunteered, and are now back with us for Guys and Dolls working on the production. So, you know, Clock is very welcoming.
Yeah.
They pride themselves on top quality.
Mm.
Yeah, but they don't do it just offhand. You know, you've got a company administrator, Sandra Davies, who is a school teacher by day and spends the rest of her time, you know, running the company.
She's the heart of the company.
She really is.
Yeah,
yeah,
she is.
Yeah, her and Grant Ully, who's the president, and just a whole team, particularly the committee of people that are committed to making Clockworks work. See what I did there?
I do. Yeah.
See what I did there?
You're very clever.
Yeah. They're going to quote me in the program.
Now, when I looked at some of the, and I'm not going to name them naturally because there's way too many, but when I looked at some of the productions that Clock's done over the years, you must have had an amazing amount of volunteers, performers come through Clock and engage with musical theatre and really put in what they love doing, and that sort of shines through when you've got performers like that. But can I ask you about Phantom? And
yes.
I know you hear about Guys and
Dolls. That's fine. Go ahead.
It must have been an amazing production. When you think about Phantom of the Opera, it must have been an amazing production to, A, be involved in, Scott.
Well, look, Phantom of the Opera was always on my bucket list. And I auditioned for the production twice professionally and was always too young. And then the opportunity came up to audition for it for Clock under the direction of Chris Bradke, who is a fantastic director. I was fortunate enough to be cast as Monsieur Fermat, who was one of the theatre managers. And, you know, I spent most of my time doing comedy character acting in pieces such as this or, you know, King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar, those kind of, you know, nonchalant comedy roles. to actually have a chance to play a character where I could sing, you know, and use my training and use my skill and just to have a big old sing. It was great.
Yeah.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber, it really is a masterpiece for a reason. You know, when you think about, you know, the harmonies and the orchestra parts all coming together with, you know, a story by Gaston Leroy, and it's just, that's amazing.
Mm.
You know, it really is one of the best things that I've done in the amateur circuit. So, you know, it was great to be involved in. Thanks,
absolutely,
Colin. It was truly amazing.
Yeah. And it's just a beautiful piece of
absolutely
musical theatre as well. It's,
you know, and it'll come up again with other companies, but you know, being the Australian amateur premiere was pretty special.
That is very special.
Pretty special.
And, Clock, you know, and all its performers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We had, I think, the final total of people working on the production came to about 212. Within the space of 4 months to get it from, right, we've got the rights, let's put it on, to closing night, about 212 people.
That's a lot of people working, isn't it?
Volunteers.
Incredible. Yeah.
Volunteers who give up their time freely to, you know, make the production a success. So it's not just, you know, as actors, we get the accolades on stage. At the end of the performance, everyone claps us and we feel fantastic. But kudos should go out to everybody who works on the productions, particularly with Clock, because you've got such a community. And dare I say, community theatre is called that for an exact reason.
Yeah.
It's a community of people coming together in a social setting, in a not-for-profit setting, to create theatre for people, for entertainment value. And it's not a business per se where, you know, right, we're not making any money, let's close the show.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it becomes,
it's enjoyable for everyone.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, and you can put your heart and soul into it, and
because everyone's got a role, and and they know their role, but they're really supportive of everyone else.
Yeah, that's
within,
right.
Correct.
And which I think is really great. And I mean, when we're talking about volunteer-based things, I mean, you know, Joy 94.9, another one that's completely volunteer-based, and it really is that community or family.
Yes,
that is really important. Tonight we've got, as I said in the opening, we've got Sarah and Scott from Guys and Dolls from Clock Theatre. We, you know, Guys and Dolls takes us back to Times Square, New York, around about the 1940s. So we've got some really great music to enjoy tonight. And maybe it would be a good idea, Scott, if we started off with a song and come back and then talk about your roles in Guys and Dolls.
Sure.
Now, you're the expert on the music there, so what are you going to allow us to hear tonight?
The first piece I'm going to play for you, because I'm in charge. sorry, Colin.
You are
out the door. The first person I'm going to play is the title song from the production called Guys and Dolls, and it's sung by characters Benny Southstreet and Nicely Nicely Johnson, who are my characters' two sidekicks. And they sing, this song is really reflective of the times. So it's a bit misogynistic in places, shall we say, but it's a real reflection on the life and times of the 1940s called Guys and Dolls.
Thank you.
Melbourne's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're with Colin Armstrong and Aesthetica. And we've got some great, exciting guests in the studio with me tonight to chat about the new production of Guys and Dolls and play some music from the show. And Scott is in control of the music, so that was really great. Thanks for that, Scott. That was a great, it is the opening number, but it was a great song.
Yeah, it's a great, as I was saying to Sarah during the break, it's a great reflection on what the show is about, and you know, it's a real Broadway type number too. It's the way our production team, Lynette White, our choreographer, has staged the number, it's fun. It's classic Broadway, and there's lots of kicks and arms and
lots to look at.
Lots of show stuff, yes, which is right. Always nice. Now, so singing the song that we've just had is Nathan Lane playing Nathan Detroit and Faith. Sorry, I can't read my writing.
Faith Prince.
Prince playing Adelaide. Is that's correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And great voices there too. So maybe, Sarah, yes, would you like just to tell me a little bit about Guys and Dolls and where it's set and some of the background things for it?
Well, it's set in 1940. It's a great... It's ultimately a love story. Two couples, Nathan and Adelaide, have been engaged for 14 years, and I suppose Adelaide is at heart, she just wants the American dream, you know, the house and the
little green house, the little white fence,
just like the Whitney
just yeah, like the Whitney colors.
And
excuse us while we break into character.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's fine.
They've been engaged for 14 years,
and that's a long time.
It is a long time,
yeah.
And
we ain't ready. Nathan keeps saying we ain't ready.
And so
tries to get out of it,
yes, all the time,
yes.
So she's, you know, been to the doctor about a cold she's developed because the doctor thinks it might be psychosomatic and due to the fact that she can't get Nathan to marry her. And on the opposite side of the coin, you've got Sarah Brown, who is a Salvation Army...
Mission doll.
Mission doll, yes, as she refers to herself. And she falls in love with a high roller gambler. And
named Sky Masterson, which Marlon Brando made famous in the film.
So you see the story develop between these two couples and... ultimately end up with a happy ending, which is
wonderful.
Which is
what we won't talk about the happy ending because we've all got to go and see the show.
Yes, absolutely.
And
just to interject, and interestingly enough, when Damon Runyon, who wrote the short stories, which is what Guys and Dolls is based on, they were two separate short stories. And when they've decided to write the musical, and they've brought those two short stories together, intertwined them, mm-hmm, and created the show Guys and Dolls. So that's how you get the two couples... you know, the gambler and the mission doll and the commitment phobe and the, you know, the 50s housewife American dream wannabe. So, and that's how Guys and Dolls came together. So, you know, and it's written in true Damon Runyon style. So it's not necessarily good English, but it's kind of a little bit New York and a little bit like, what's one of my lines? Go ahead, shoot me, put me in cement. At least I would know where I am. You know, so it's got a certain rhythm and a certain succinctity to it. So I just make that word up. Succinctity, is that a word?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. There's so many words in this show, I probably made it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all the dialogue has got a very definite, you know, time and place and rhythm, order and rhythm.
Exactly.
And it's really important that all characters stick to what's in the script.
Which has been one of our challenges, hasn't it? Really, to try and capture that style while communicating with each other and still giving in terms of an actor giving to another actor on stage and trying to find that within the dialogue, which is exactly, which is, you know, foreign to us. It's like people learning Shakespeare and trying to do Shakespeare. It's another language, but it's still English.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and am I correct in saying that, and well, no, I know that you've got a lead role in Guys and Dolls, and the other leading male is John?
Yeah, John Sebastian.
John Sebastian. Now, you're both seasoned performers, and I'm going to, I saw in one of the part of the media release, mm-hmm, that was handed through to me that the two lead roles in the show, Gamblers Nathan Detroit, which is yourself, mm-hmm, Scott, and Sky Masterson, who's John. It's the fourth clock show in which you both have appeared over the last 15 years.
Correct.
And, of course, Phantom as well. And most recently, each of them has previously played, obviously, gay characters, but this time around they'll be co-starring as romantic, straight leading men who each get their girl. And I've got to, if I can just finish the
line.
We're
very good actors.
And I'm sure you are. But I love this, that you have, it's reported that you said, at least we still get to wear loud and flamboyant suits.
That was John.
That was you.
I'm saying it. It was John. No, I can see it was me. It was me. I'm not going to deny that. And I was...
He does get jealous of all my costumes because I have six fabulous costumes.
Half of Melbourne's listening. You know what I do to feel fabulous when I'm wearing boy clothes? I sew a sequin to the inside pocket. So I am wearing a touch of sequins on the inside. That's my little secret, Melvin. Yes. I don't want to see anyone wearing sequins on the inside pocket. Thanks. It's mine. Mine.
Yeah, okay. Then we'll make sure that I'll never do that, okay? Because it's yours.
I'll be checking your pockets, Colin.
Now, you just then, Sarah, about Adelaide's costumes.
They're sensational. Clock has... He's very jealous all the time. Clock's got an amazing group of, as Scott was saying before, volunteers. There's 10 working on the show this time, and it's headed up... Our costume designer is Victoria Horn, who she also loves a bit of sequining, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she does.
So she works many sequins chats in about wherever that. She can. But
you've worked with Vicky before, haven't you?
I have, yeah. The costume ladies do such a great job in making you feel comfortable in what you're going to wear and how you're going to look. And it's really, really assuring and really nice to know that then it's not just a that'll do, you know. They want to make sure that you're comfortable to go out and
what did you say
perform.
About a pair of shoes the other day? Oh, you're not wearing those. They cut your legs off.
Yes, yeah.
I was like, that's shoes. We all know how important shoes are, Melbourne, don't we? Yeah, that's right.
So,
all right, the gay's on. The gay's on.
Get him in front of a microphone and look. This, can you imagine acting opposite this on stage? Live theatre.
I'm glad. Yeah. No, but I was. What I was going to say when we're talking about the costumes and putting all that together, you as a character, that just seals the character, isn't it? I mean, not only have you got to sing and you've got to act, but also with what you're wearing. And if you feel that within that character, it actually just does the whole.
It's the whole package.
Really.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, today we had rehearsals this afternoon, and I was wearing my. I've got two corsets that I wear within the show, and it's just the finishing touch. You know, you can get to a certain point, but until you actually put on the finishing touches of what you're going to be wearing and how it's going to feel, it lifts the whole performance for you again. Which is and it's great to know that they've been made for you and they fit like a glove, and everything's been designed so that you're comfortable and you look great, which is still fantastic.
There's not going to be one person in the audience that goes, oh, those shoes 1960, what are they doing in the 40s?
No.
You know, so because
it's finer detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
43 production.
Yes.
Which is great.
Absolutely.
And the men's suits and
the men's suits have all been made by Taylor. There's 18 suits been made for this show, and all colour coordinated to the set, and it's got a real comic book feel to it. You know those comics where everything's sort of dotted? You know, it's a bit like that, but a bit sort of Ren and Stimpy, blurred lines. I just did that. Yeah, I did. So it's got a real kind of warped aspect to it, which gives it that real sense of cartoon. So when you come and see the show, you will definitely see there's lots of overacting, but the director likes that. Chris White and Lynette White like that because it's got a real sense of cartoon, you know, and using your voice to be really, and your body, you know, there's lots of slapstick. And as I was saying to you before, Colin, the three of us, myself, my character, my two sidekicks, we've kind of styled it on the Three Stooges. So we get a bit of, that kind of vocalization coming into the character as well, which, you know,
and that
people who
that
remember
book,
that era will remember these cartoons and these characters from back then and correlate. So it becomes another aspect to Guys and Dolls, which makes it an original production, which people are going to go, oh, yeah. And it's introducing those kind of characters to a new generation.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is fantastic.
We might talk more about that in when we come back. Because I want to talk about the dates and about introducing it to a, people that may not have seen it before or heard the music or seen the costumes like that. You're on Aesthetic, and tonight on Joy 94.9, I've got two of the leading cast members from Guys and Dolls, which is a Clock musical theatre production opening in early October, and we're going to tell you more about that. But Scott, maybe if we could hear another track, and maybe can we feature a song from Adelaide?
Yes. Well, this is the next song I was going to play for you is actually the song that Adelaide and I, our duet.
Oh, okay.
In that'd the be second great. Act. Yes. This is where I get caught running the crap game again.
Adelaide hates.
Yes, and I promised I'd give it up, and I kind of didn't. I did it behind her back, and she finds out, and I get into a bit of trouble.
With a collage of arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond. Colin Armstrong, Aesthetica on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Aesthetica on Joy 94.9. I'm with Scott Hilly and Sarah Watson from Guys and Dolls. And
crowd goes wild.
Absolutely. Out there. And the good part about, Scott, you were saying earlier about Melbourne, with the internet and the web and our app on smartphones, we actually go a lot further, which is really great.
Mm.
And, interstate and overseas. So it's really, really good that, you know, that's where we're going tonight, hearing about Guys and Dolls. So that's really
great. Come to Melbourne. Come to Broadway.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you,
yes,
where are you performing Guys and Dolls?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Sarah knows.
Sarah.
We can't give him too much information.
I'm on a need to know basis, apparently.
Guys and Dolls opens on the 4th of October, so just under 2 weeks, and it'll be played at the National Theatre in St Kilda.
Quarter of Carlisle of Barclay Street, see, I do know.
Oh, you do know.
Very good.
Which is a beautiful theatre. It's been, you know, it's probably one of St Kilda's, you know, a great attraction of St Kilda.
It used to be a grand old cinema, I believe. And then when they converted into a theatre, they got rid of the whole stalls level, converted into the drama school, and then built the fly tower.
Mm.
So the actual stage level is the old dress circle.
Right.
Trivia.
Yeah.
Learned that while I was waiting backstage at Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, so...
Now, Sarah...
Yeah, just tell me to shut up.
No, I'm too polite for that.
Shut up, Scott.
Okay.
Sarah, so how long has the National Theatre been the home for Clock Theatre? I put you on the spot there.
No, that's okay. I think it's the last 4 years.
4 years, okay. A beautiful venue for it.
It is a beautiful venue.
You know you've not got your role. You know you're going to get sacked from the show if that's wrong.
I know, sorry, Sandy.
Sorry, Grant.
Yeah, it's 2010,
yes.
I think. Actually, Dusty, last show that I did
Dusty.
With Clock,
okay.
was the first show that they had put on at the National in St Kilda, and I should have known that because I was actually in that production.
Yeah. And what production number was that?
Well, now you've put me on the spot, Scott. I don't know. For me 96? Or for Clock? I don't
96?
Know.
I can...
Can you imagine us two on stage? Yeah.
I was just about going to say that the interaction in the studio is amazing. I can only... But, you know, imagine what it must be like on the stage. For Guys and Dolls. Yeah, but I think that's, you know, we did talk about that a little bit before about being family, but it's about the relationship. Mm. It's about the interaction between performers. Mm. And so that way you get a completely... a sense of engagement, which is best.
Mm. Well, it's true. I once did a production of West Side Story where the Maria and the Tony, who have to, the Romeo and Juliet, have to fall in love, and they absolutely hated each other.
Mm.
And watching them on stage was like pulling teeth. You know, the audience apparently believed it, but we were all like, that's so fake. Just punch her in the face. Oh!
But I think that, and that's really good to see. And I dare say the rest of the cast are like that as well.
Yeah.
It's this cast is, a lot of us have commented on how this cast is sort of, everyone's supportive and got each other's back, and there's no egos that need, you know, everyone's just willing to do their part, and it doesn't matter whether you're ensemble or lead cast, you're still, everyone's in the show, you know?
And I think one of the good things about the way that Guys and Dolls is written, it's written as an ensemble piece.
Mm.
And within that, you have characters like us who say more, who the story centres around, but you've also got a full ensemble of people who have their own characters.
Yeah.
Unlike something like Phantom, for example, where you've got the Phantom and Christine and a couple of other people, and then the ensemble tend to blend in as part of the scenery. In this show, it's the complete opposite.
It is. The ensemble,
and that's the difference between something written that was written in 1925 to 1989, you know, and the how far music theatre has come. And when you look at music theatre history, and I'm going to crap on for hours if I don't shut up. But when you look at music theatre history, you know, you can see how far ensemble pieces have travelled.
Yeah.
And storytelling has travelled within the music theatre genre.
Mm. Now, with that's fine. With Guys and Dolls, it's a sure bet as the perfect romantic comedy for a toe-tapping, fun-filled night out. Would I be right there?
Absolutely.
Correct.
Guys and Dolls runs from October 4 to 19 at the National Theatre in St Kilda for 12 performances, including three matinees on October 6, 12 and 13. For more information, and Scott and Sarah aren't leaving me yet, but while we're talking about the production, I just wanted to let you know, for more information or to purchase tickets, go to the Clock website, which is all the W's as we know, clock.org.au, or there is a ticket line, so you can get that through the Clock website as well. They're on social media as well, and so you can look up social media for Guys and Dolls or the Clock musical. And it just sounds, I think that, you know, it's one of those shows where it's going to uplift us. It's going to, you know, we're going to hear some great musical numbers, toe tapping, really what I think I might be stealing your line here, Scott, but what you said before, what really Broadway's about, what musical theatre's about.
And there's
you go away
in it
feeling
for everyone.
Great.
Yeah.
Yes. And it takes you away. The key thing about music theatre is storytelling. As is all acting and all performance art is storytelling. And what I love about performing is that I can help take someone away to another place for 3 hours and then they thank me at the end.
Yeah. Now, and I think that's what it is. I think that's what I love so much about productions or theatre, is that you can, no matter what happens, what is happening, you can go in and just enjoy that wonderful show, and you come out. And I have been known to come out of shows, probably a little bit, I promise not to do it after Guys and Dolls, maybe, but you come out singing your favourite number or you know, maybe dancing down the street or all that
that's
sort
okay,
of thing.
You can
because
do that.
That sort of is how it leaves you.
Yeah.
And it leaves you with that really great memory, which is really good.
I do that with Miley Cyrus songs.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Now, talking about songs, how about another song from Guys and Dolls?
This one is from the second act, and it's one of the showstoppers. And Michael Butler, in our production, plays Nicely Nicely Johnson and sings this a treat.
Yeah.
It's called Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat.
Thank you. Welcome back to Joy 94.9. You're on Aesthetica, and just a very quick what's on. When too much Wagner is never enough. There is a special Wagner gala concert which will also feature the famous Pilgrim's Chorus. And this is actually going to be on Sunday the 13th of October at 5 p.m. at the Melbourne Town Hall. And for tickets for that, go to Ticketmaster or you can actually go to all the W's, trybooking.com /63604. This is also by the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic, and Andrew Wales will be the conductor. So it's going to be an absolutely great afternoon at 5 p.m. on Sunday the 13th of October at the Melbourne Town Hall. As you probably would have noticed, tonight has been an incredibly interesting Aesthetica.
That's a nice way to put it, Colin.
And I...
we weren't really distracting Colin while he was trying to do those readings at all.
Yes, it's not only was this, I must share with you, not only was this singing and dancing while we were playing the track, there was some movement in the studio while we were doing things there. So it has been a very interesting show. But saying that, it's been an absolute delight to have both of you in, both Sarah and Scott in.
Can I just point out that Sarah told me a joke while you were reading that. She said that Sarah Watson and you were just reading what's on, and I didn't get it. And she's going, Sarah, what's on? What's on? And I've gone,
I'm on. That's what's on.
I'm interrupting Colin to tell people that on air.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did. Sorry, Colin.
That's okay. Now, so anything else that you would like to tell us about Guys and Dolls before we... you're welcome to stay on, but we're going to play another track, and then we're going to play some music that I'd prepared, and then we can all just say goodnight. So... and not forgetting also at 10 o'clock, we have Barb coming in, the studio is going to be waiting for her, and it'll be Songs of the Generation and Triple X. No, I'll escort you out of the studio.
Out of the building.
You'll need to escort.
Look, come and see the show. If it's one of those rare opportunities to see a classic music theatre Broadway style piece, you know, you get so caught up in the mega musical, going to the Hisense Arena and seeing Jesus Christ Superstar for, you know, $100, and you know, it's on, it's over in 3 days, or Grease the mega musical. This actually, it's affordable, it's under $50, and it takes you,
it's old fashioned romance,
it's boys and girls
characters,
and
it's,
when you know, it's girls in pretty dresses and boys in suits, and hey, boys, doesn't a boy in a suit look fantastic? Do come and see the show.
The
I'll show him a pinstripes
too.
Afterwards. Oh!
The girls do look good.
Hocking my box on radio.
Sorry.
The girls look all right, too, girls.
Look, it's going to be one of those shows that everyone should just go and see. And I think we've got one final track.
Yes.
Am I right? From Guys and Dolls. And tonight I have, as you know, I've had the pleasure of having Scott Hilly and Sarah Watson in the studio to talk about the upcoming Clock musical theatre production of Guys and Dolls at the National Theatre down in fabulous St Kilda. And it's something that you should go and see. The music tonight has been great. The personalities that have been in the studio tonight are definitely worth going and seeing.
Totes.
And details.
Am I too old to say that? I think so.
Yes, I would say yes.
Details will be on the social media page for Aesthetica, and we're going to have a photo both of the performers that have been in the studio tonight.
Hair and makeup, Studio 4.
No stylist. What are we going to
We're listening to the last track we'll be listening to tonight is Luck Be a Lady. It's again one of the feature songs in the show.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Aesthetica and Colin Armstrong. On Aesthetica tonight, we've actually been joined by Scott Hilly and Sarah Watson from Guys and Dolls. And I... and I've had the great show, and I'd just like to thank you so, so much, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a fun-filled...
Hell of a ride, Colin. Hell of a ride.
A fun-filled ride on Aesthetica. So thanks for joining us. And
thank you.
Can I just wish you all the very best, Chookers, all of that.
Thank you.
All the very best for the upcoming production.
Great.
To not only yourselves, but the fabulous cast that you've got there.
Yeah.
Great.
So good luck with that.
See you in the foyer.
Thank you. And that is Aesthetica for this week.
With a collage of arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond. Colin Armstrong, Aesthetica, on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.